And you might like to turn in your Bible to, if you would, to the first epistle of John and chapter 3. First epistle of John, chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God. We've just opened thy word. So, God, here we are, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, God is making sure that the believer is able to overcome the world system, overcome the satanic system, Antichrist, and all of that, and able to go and overcome our old nature. And therefore, all of those three things are against what? Enjoying the reality of being truly saved. Having to be able to honor God. Look over chapter 1 again in verse 3. 1 and 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, communion, union, fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To have such a unique, awesome reality, relationship, it's an awesome thing. Now, having said that, So we left chapter 2, looking for his appearing, and we want to, in the light of that, to know we're saved, to know, make sure we're saved. Verse 29, chapter 2, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And we did all that so that we could understand how that all works. And chapter 3, in the light of that, behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, children of God, even children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So to be able to know God's wonderful person, to know the love of God, the love of the Father, which he has given to us in his Son, and we're to know the love of God. So the love of God is an awesome thing, to know the love of God. No, we aren't talking about love. We aren't writing about love. We aren't just talking about it, reading about it, or even writing a whole bunch of words about it, talking about it. No, to be able to be actually loved. Actually, for real, loved God, infinite, awesome person that he is, to love you and me, real, not make-believe, real. That's awesome. We're not just talking about love. No, do you really understand that God chose you, has saved you in Christ, and he loves you. He loves. You really love. That love what? To love being his legitimate children. To love being a real child of God. I was a child of Aaron, my father. That's all gone. To be a child of God. For real. My father was real. Father. My father God. Our father is real. To actually be a child of God. Not talk about it. Not preach about it. Actually to be one. Actually to be one. That's what you are. To be a real, legitimate child of God. And God is trying to drive home the point because the whole world around us and in us, our old sin nature, is against this. It's against God really, truly saving you in such a super-duper way. Therefore, so, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We know when he appears, we're going to be like him. That's the encouragement. That's the stimulus to get you to understand you're a real child of God. So you're really going to be, grow up and you're going to be a child of God. In the Son of God, that's for real. Therefore, in chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons, children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And, for we shall see him as he is. God, we're going to be able to see you as you are. Now, that's as he is. I'm going to see him as he is. Okay. Now, exercise. A little exercise. Challenge going, if we can, to give you a little help. We're going to see him as he is. And all of his awesome person. Think of Ezekiel, as we're doing on Wednesday and all of that. And the awesome God, you are awesome person. You are one awesome person. Now we're going to see you in the person of Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Now, God, how are we going to see you? Let's exercise. Sort of go with me in a little journey to see where it leads us. Over, if you can, please. And you know Colossians 1:27. And 1:27, well, we'll do that part first. Look at each step so that you don't drown in the piranha fish and sharks down there. And in Colossians, and 1. And in 27, you know what? This is the mystery. The Gentiles, the nations, they have no idea about what we just... God truly loves you. And you truly, truly are in his family. He truly is the Father. And you are to enjoy the Father as family, as children. And you are really, 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 really true. It's true. You're a child of God. Now, not next month, not 5 minutes from now. Right now, you're either saved or you're not, and you're truly saved. Now, having said that, that's the mystery. What's the mystery? To say it simply, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, riches, glory of this mystery, which is among you, the Gentiles, the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're going to be like him. Christ, and it's the hope of tomorrow. Glory. That's where you're headed. Where you're headed. Now, exercise. Let's see how it comes out. Over, if you can, please. Over in your Bibles to start us off. If I can, in John, Gospel of John, and I can, chapter 1. And we'll make sure where we're going. God is going to go and show himself in a most wonderful way. We can't see the invisible God in any way, shape, or form because he's in God and he fills everything everywhere all at once. So therefore, God makes himself known to us who he created in his image and likeness. And God makes himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. so that God, we can't see you, smell you, nope, here you are, and we're to know you. We're to know you, and how can we know you? In the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son who saves us. Now, so therefore, in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God in Christ brings us himself full of grace and truth, and the wonderful, and it's full of glory. So God, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and he's just a little baby, just like us, only he's the sinless Son of God. Just like us, he has to be like us, just hands, everything, just like us, has to be. He's taking up, he's born of the Virgin Mary, etc. So, perfectly, wonderfully, a perfect human to be a perfect sacrifice, and thus we're to know and thus to see God. So, and this is a glorious, he's the glory of the Father. Wow. Now, over to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, you're going to recall where we were. Picking up, please, if I can, in verse 24. Father, I will, the end of the prayer of the perfect man before the perfect God. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. What for? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God, I want them to see the glory. Over to chapter 17 and verse 1. The prayer to see it. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son, thy Son may glorify thee. Wow. You want us, God, to be able to see the glorious person that you are. That's what we want us to see. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he brings to us the Father in all of his glory. And you can't wait, as it were, using our human terms. You're looking for us and waiting for us to what? To see your wonderful glory. The glory that God has given us. You're loved. You're a child of God. The Father loved us with this foreign, strange kind of love. No one loves like you do, God. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and God, you're going to go, and while we're here, while you're right there, chapter 17, and back over to verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Remember what you read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3? Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And we're able to have a unique oneness. That's imperative. A relationship of oneness, of unity, so that we can represent him properly. And God is giving us the glory. That's what he's doing. The glory in order to help what? Not for you to be glorious or for me to be glorious, for God to show his wonderful saving grace in your little, in our head and heart. So therefore, verse 23, chapter 17, I in them and thou in me, that purpose they may be made perfect, complete in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. To love them, God loves love. Just like God the Father perfectly loves God the Son. I want them to know that God loves you like he loves me. Well, as I said, strange. Foreign kind of love. Crazy, can't be true. Ah, but it is. Now, having said that, now, chapter 14. So here we are, 3 1/3 years into the ministry, and Peter, James, and John, and Luke, and here we are, all of us. They are looking, and we're there in the upper room. And what are we doing? Well, we're going to go and enjoy God's wonderful person for 3 1/3 years. We've been with him all the time. Now, having said that, and in the upper room, he's going to go out and be crucified. So therefore, John chapter 14, if I can. In chapter 14, picking up, please, if I can. And you know it, but just take each step to get there. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now remember that is based on verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Philip says, in the light of that, show us the Father. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you're looking at him. You're looking at the Father. The Father is in the Son. The Son has came to help us die on the cross so that we can go, when we receive him as our Savior, we're able to go from the Son in Christ, Christ in us, to the Father. That's what we're going to do. So we are able to go to the Father. So what do? I see him. I see him. Peter, James, and John, do you see him? We do, we do, we do. He just looks just like us, but he's different. Absolutely different, and he would be. Perfect, sinless, whatever kind of body that would look like. Now, no wrinkles probably, nothing. What can I tell you? Now, got that part. I got him, so I'm going to, you know what? Hang on, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And you will see him as he is. Now I see him. I'm going to be Peter. I'm looking at him, just like us. Now what? He's going to go to the cross. Over to Isaiah 52. Isaiah and chapter 52, pointing to Christ, going to go to the cross. And picking up, please, 52, if I can, going directly, verse 14. 52:14. And as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man. His visage, his appearance was so marred, distorted, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He's just like us, but all of a sudden, boy, is he all messed up. Wow. 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And, that's right, and he hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was so beat up. And you have to remember, he didn't have one beating. He had them each time he went. He had 6 trials, And within those trials, he was beaten up and then beaten again and beaten again, beaten again, merciless, bloody. You couldn't recognize him. Am I going to see you? But all of a sudden, you don't look very good. You don't look very good, Lord. And then that's when the Lord said, and all men forsook me. Peter, James, and John all disappeared. They all disappeared. Wow. Not even want to look at us. Am I going to see you? No. You're going to see me as he is. All right? Keep going. It's okay. So now, over in the light of that, in the light of the resurrection and that, back over to John chapter 20. Gospel of John, and in chapter 20, if I may. If I can, chapter 20, his resurrection. So what have we got? Chapter 20, verse 20. But here they are, crucifixion, resurrection, the disciples all there gathered together, mourning and groaning because he's been crucified, and Mary, different ones trying to tell him, no, he's risen again. And I say, we don't believe he's risen again. He is not risen again. So therefore, Mary, did you recognize him? No, I didn't recognize him. Now here he comes. Here they are in the upper room there, and they're there. And so our Lord comes, chapter 20, and chapter 20, verse 19. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut, they were protecting themselves, double doors, remember, in a room, double doors. They don't want to have bad guys, the Pharisees and stuff, come in after them. Then the same day, that evening being at the first day of the week, then the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. Doors were shut. For fear of the Jews came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So here they are, all locked up in the room, and being locked up in the room, all of a sudden, in the middle of the room, as they're all sitting there, here comes our Lord. Just didn't open the door, didn't open the window. He's just there. And, verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed him unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Wow, they saw him. But he's different. He's absolutely different. Different, no question. And the hands are there, but boy, he isn't the same as he was. So I'm sliding down if I can in verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, this is Thomas, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his of the na- print of the nails, finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, the next week, next Sunday, again the disciples were within, and Thomas saith unto them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, they don't go through, have no problem, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, I'll reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And there, so here we are, resurrected body, but the hands didn't heal, no blood, blood side. He says, here's the hole, stick your finger in it. So there he is, with the hands in the hole. And there's Thomas. And Thomas, like all of us, verse 29, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. That would certainly do that. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because, verse 29, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. You were able to see me. You were able to see me after my resurrection. You're going to see me as I am. You see me after my resurrection. Thomas, blessed are those that never see me. They don't see me yet. Ah, but they are. They are. Now we're the sons of God. And it is yet that when we, what are we waiting for? To see him. What are we waiting to see him for? To find we'll be like him. To be like him. Hang on. Now, so having said that, in the light of that, Thomas, over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, you will note, this is where the 500, this is where he ascends from the Mount of Olives to the right hand of God after 40 days and nights showing them he's resurrected. And so what happens at that event is ascension. So therefore, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, verse 11, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who you just saw go up, all 500 plus of you, this same Jesus which is taken up from you unto heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come. He's going to come. You saw him. We're all there. We're all witnesses, over 500. And what do you got? We see him. Here he is, and he's gone in the clouds. Ah, hang on. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and why you're in Acts, interestingly, well, we don't want to do that. Yeah, well, Acts, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here they are, they see him go up in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So here, Acts chapter, 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 15. May I go, please? I'm going to go in the light of the context, the gospel. He died, he was buried, and rose again. And I'll read verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep, have died. So all of them there, witnesses, we saw him go up. Therefore, verse 7, after that he was seen of the James and then of the apostles, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, sliding over to verse 49. First resurrection chapter 15, verse 49. And may I pick it up in thought? And I'll read verse 48, a little background. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And, verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly. And boy, we do. We done got it. We all got the same bodies, earthly. Hang on. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We got one, but we have to get something else. That's right. You have to get another one, different body. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. No, God's going to come, but you shall be changed. Changed. And in a moment, in the split second, nanosecond, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What are we looking for? We're looking for a mutation, like a caterpillar, a metamorphosis. We're going to be changed. God's going to do something wonderful. Our Lord, we stood there, make believe with the 500, and we see him go up, and we hang around, and he's coming back. Where did he go? He went into the clouds. Where's he coming? 1 Thessalonians 4, in the clouds. How high are the clouds up? How high are the clouds? There they are. All right, he's coming in the clouds. We're going to be changed in a moment. And what are you going to do, God? You're going to do what? Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. God, you do a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. You save us in a most awesome, awesome way. You do. So we've got this. So far, I followed him, and here we am. I'm God, I'm looking. You told me to be looking at your appearing, so that what? I'm going to be like you, because I'm going to see you as you is, as you are, as you are. And I followed through a little bit, and God, the last time the believers saw you here, you went up, and God took you up, and God did that. Now there's another fellow, though, that had a special advantage. Back over to Acts chapter 7. In the book of Acts, chapter 7. And you will note. And here's Stephen, as you remember. And Stephen went through what he did. Wow. So here's chapter 7. Here's Stephen giving a wonderful, wonderful exercise to the people of Israel of their history. And then chapter 7, verse 55. But remember now, they're all concerned. The people, they're going to kill him. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of the God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see this heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And that set them off. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes to a young man. That's the Apostle Paul. Paul stood there while Stephen was stoned, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling him God, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, that's the word, cried, Father, Abba, Father, cry, Abba, Father, loud, clear, no question. The Spirit of God cries in our heart, Abba, Father, and we repeat it, no question about it. Abba, Father, my Father. So, verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And God put him to sleep, as we shared the other day. He put him to sleep. And then the stones came, but he didn't feel them. God put him to sleep and let him get stoned. Now, having said that, so God, Stephen, you saw him. I saw him. You see him go up, and you see him. He's standing there. I see him. Okay. Now, in the light of that, as we shared together, here's his body. Over to Ephesians. And you will note, in Ephesians, you know it, put it together. How am I going to, God, I'm going to see you as you are. Now, you're awesome. In all different ways, you show yourself as fire. You're a consuming fire. Yes, but for the family, you'll see me. Why am I going to see you as you are in your resurrected body? So you can enjoy the family. What do you mean the family? You can enjoy the Father because you can't see him. But now you can see the Father who loves you and gave himself for you. You can now see him. And you will see him. You can't see God, you're invisible, right? But you're going to see as family. You're going to be like him. Family. Boy, you're big and awesome, yes. But for you, your family. Therefore, Ephesians chapter 1. And God has put all things under his feet in verse 22. Ephesians 1:22. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, the body of Christ. Which body is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to enjoy your awesome person as your body. And that's what we're to be understanding. We're to understand you're going to be like you. Like the head, the body like the head like the body. So over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, and in verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God, you're going to present us to yourself to be like you, sliding down. How like you? Verse 30, for we are members, eyes, ears, nose, throat. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. What kind of intimate relation do we have? The same unique relationship you have to your head. You live inside, and all your bodies, your ligaments, they're all connected to you. Take a picture of your hip, you know, all those different things, and take the bones, a bunch of bones, but they're all the bones connected. One body, that's right. My body, you gotta be like me in a wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, I can. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, and you know, so when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing to save us. In order to say that in a singular way, in a full way, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. That's right. I can't wait, said John, Lord, 17, 24. I can't wait for you to see my glory. I want you to see. What is it? You're going to be like me. You're going to be like me. You're going to have a body like I do. You're going to be like me. What's it like? It's glorious. It's a glorious body. And I could be all kinds of things to you, but I'm going to be the man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, for you to enjoy being a child of God. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's glorious that the excellency, that which is beyond power and reach of the power, may be of God and not of us. It's not about us at all. And therefore, sliding over if I can, to verse 16. Therefore, for which cause we faint not, think it back over to 1 Corinthians 15, we live in an earthly body, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we don't lose any life. We keep enjoying eternal life, a relationship to Christ. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment. We have the ups and downs, the ins and outs in this human body that we live in. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I got that out of God. You know, everything that's the whole other world, apart from this physical world that we see, touch, taste, and smell. Chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly body of this tabernacle were dissolved, and we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. If so be, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. God, we want to have something. We want to be covered in a body. Yep. And verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. That mortality, our earthly dying body, might be swallowed up in life. That God, we might have the wonderful thing, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed. You're going to see me. What's your wonderful expectation? You're going to see me as I am. You're going to see me as he is. That's your stimulus. The little kid that's the little boy or girl that's 10 years old, 5 years old, they are looking to be 5 years old 50 years from now. The five-year-old has in them, I'm pretty sure, I forgot what it is to be five, but you got what it is when you're 5 years old. You're looking to what? Grow up. You want to be like the family. You want to grow. So what are we doing, God? You're trying to stimulate us that we be little children and we need to grow. We should look forward to growing. Why? Because we're going to be like you. If I can, in the light of that, in the God, over chapter 5, you know it, it's wonderful. Verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment, the pledge of the Spirit of God to make sure it's all going to happen. Therefore, we are always, because the Spirit of God is going to do this, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's right. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And, verse 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're looking. We aren't trying to hang around. We're here, but we're looking to be there. God, that's what you want us to do, to be paying attention to that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. Now, God, are you getting the idea? God, how am I going to see you? I'm going to see you in a family way. I'm going to see my Father in the Son, in his perfect humanity. And his perfect humanity is going to be what? Found in me, in you, in our heart, in our body. We're going to see you because we're going to be like you. We're family. Yeah, all the things you're going to be, the Lamb of God and the consuming fire and everything, yeah. But as far as our thing goes, we have a unique relationship to you. 1 John 1:3, our fellowship is with the Father and with you, our Lord. So the Spirit of God says, this is what we're doing. So you ought to be excited. You ought to be the motivation. He was taken up in the cloud. You're going to be taken up in the cloud. Any moment, whenever I want to, I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you home to be with me in a most wonderful way. You get any idea? A little of all the things. What kind of body are you going to have in heaven? You know, are you going to be like a jolly green giant? Or what are you going to be up there? You know, what are you going to be up there? See, no. All I know is we have to be like him in a most resurrected kind of way to enjoy him. We aren't like an angel. No, we're way ahead of angels. We're way ahead in one sense of the Israelites and earthly people because the church is his body. It's very special. And the Spirit of God has tried to drive home in an age of unbelief when we crucified and rejected his saving grace, waiting for the wrath of God. God said, I'm going to show the world by taking whosoever's, I'm going to put them in an awesome position. And they're going to be there forever. Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. Seated in heavenly places. And they're going to be there to show angels and everyone my saving grace in a body like I have. Now, closing. Well, we didn't get very far, but did you get a little? I just tried to get it. There's all kinds of ways to do it. But did you understand? What am I going to be? And people say all kinds of things. No, we're going to have a family union over there, and we're going to have a picnic over there. And yet, you know, forget it. Anyway, over again, Peter. 1 Peter. That doesn't mean we aren't going to know. We're certainly going to know. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And you will note, then go to verse 7. 1 Peter 1, 7. That, I'll read verse 6. Wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, all kinds of temptations, trials, and tests. For the trial, the test, the putting to the proof of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. We walk by faith and not by sight. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whom, having not, N-O-T, you haven't seen him, yet love him, in whom, though now, you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Therefore, think of what you did in 1 John. Therefore, we're going to see him as he is. This is a wonderful thing. You ought to let it be the governing factor in your life. And verse 9, receiving the end of your salvation, your end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. God, you're going to do a wonderful thing. And God, it's an awesome thing. So now, in closing, my little poem that I like. Near, so very near to God, nearer I could not be, for in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he. Dear, D-E-A-R, dear, so very dear to God, dearer I could not be, for in the Son, in the person of his Son, I'm just as dear as he. In Christ Jesus, I'm just as loved and just as close as he is. I can't get closer to God, ever. I'm already in his Son. All I need to do is allow it to work itself out. And one day, even this afternoon, even before we get out of the building, God will take us up and we'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be like him. That's the motivation that's missing. Missing. We don't have anticipation of it at all. I gotta quit. Hope you got a little bit. And perhaps close in prayer. And our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. So deal with us. Thank you very, very, very much. God, we're trying just to grab hold of all this. It's something else. Too marvelous to even be believed. And yet, it is to be believed because it is marvelous. So deal with us. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, for all the people come and go and sick and everything, God, at least take our little lives and get us a little better, a little more aligned with your wonderful person and your wonderful plan and our awesome future. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.